This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yeah.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
An insider's look at the National Football League. It's NFL Lunch.
Presented by Ruth's Chris Steakhouse.
With Vinny and Haney on 105.7 The Fan.
NFL free agency begins in about a month. Tag your it. Time is happening as we speak. That ends on March the 4th. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw is on the other side of the glass. Matt Bowen. ESPN.com has rated the top 50 free agents. T. Higgins coming in at number one. We talked about this earlier in the best team fit, according to Matt, and I guess salary cap's got a lot to do with it. I mean, Higgins, 6'4", 219, just brilliant player.
Yes.
Gets overshadowed at times by Chase, who's a brilliant player himself. The T. Higgins best fit, Washington Commander.
Oh, Washington would be great with McLaren on the other side. I think that would be pretty good. And then Ertz at tight end, who Jaden Daniels likes to throw to. I think that would be one. New England's going to be in there, too, because they need a receiver for their young quarterback. You know, and young quarterback, they need a receiver. But first of all, young quarterbacks need an O-line.
Sure.
So they have time to throw.
But for Higgins last year, 12 games, 73 catches, 911 yards.
Yeah.
But he has monster games, too.
Yeah, and he was franchised, you know, and if he's franchised again, he's going to be making like 30 mil, and what's he going to show up to? Because he didn't show up to stuff. And then what happens is you get hurt at the beginning of the year, and that's what happened to him some. And why are they struggling? You know, because Chase is playing by himself or whatever. So I hope – I mean, if the Bengals are going to keep him, pay him. Don't franchise him because – who knows what you're going to get if he franchises? He doesn't have to show up till the first week of the regular season games.
Now, Trey Smith, guard, rated number two free agent by Matt Bowen. And Kansas City's offensive line was poor.
Oh.
But he was one of the standouts and the best fit. And you mentioned young quarterbacks needing an O-line. Chicago Bears.
Yeah.
The Bears.
Especially, Bob, like a guard, if you don't have a tall quarterback, then, you know, the easiest way to come up is come up the middle. And if you got a stud guard in there, that would be very beneficial to Caleb Williams in there. And the thing that helps Smith, too, is not a great year in the draft for old linemen. You don't want to be a free agent the year that there's a ton of them, you know, in the draft. Bad year for old line in the draft. You're going to get even paid. Like Ronnie Stanley's going to make more money just because the offensive tackles is not a good draft.
We'll get to him in a second. But with Trey Smith, a great win rate in the run block.
Yeah.
And he's athletic enough, according to Matt, and big enough, of course.
Yeah.
6'6", 221, that he can handle in the pass rush. And, you know, Bears allowed 68 sacks in 2024. So there you go. Duh.
Well, they need to upgrade. In reality, Kansas City could use him back.
Oh, no doubt.
As bad as their old line is, too.
Ronnie Stanley coming in at number three. Top 50 free agents for this year's class. And the best fit? The Ravens. I think Stanley resigning with the Ravens after producing high-end tape in 24 and playing in every game, which answered some durability questions, would be a good move. At 6'6", 310, Stanley can use his long frame to build a wall on the edge and tied for 11th among offensive tackles in a pass block win rate, 92.5% 2024. So coming off a big year, big enough to triple his salary or whatever it is?
Yeah, I'm not. No, I think, you know, going to the Chiefs or going to, you know, one of those other teams that needs a tackle, I think is where Ronnie will end up. I don't think the Ravens. And Bob, I mean, you cut his salary, and what happened to him this year? He was there all offseason, never missed a practice. Because why? He knows he's going to be a free agent, and he's going to be out there every week to show everybody that I'm back because he wants to make more money. So I don't know who will sign him, but it won't be the Ravens.
Now, number four, DJ Reed, cornerback, the Jets. Best fit here is New England, where they pair him up with Christian Gonzalez, and Mike Vrabel would certainly be digging every second of that.
Yeah, Vrabel's a defensive coach. And
New England's got a ton of money, right?
Yep, New England's got money, willing to spend money. I mean, they got a chance to improve spending money and draft picks because they got an early draft pick and they don't need a quarterback. So you're going to get a quality player. So they can make a pretty good jump if Drake May plays good for them. But corners in the draft, I think there's some decent corners in the draft. So teams, you know, do you want to draft a corner or are you going to go pay for one? No, I'm not going to go pay for one when I can get one cheap for 5 years.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan, NFL Lunch, Turn It Up Tuesday. Bob Haney, Vince Rod, and Noel McGraw. Other side of the glass, Chris Godwin coming in at number five, injury-shortened season. Got hurt against the Ravens week 7. Best fit, according to Matt, staying in Tampa. Be that dude. Be the Robin to Mike Evans' Batman.
Yeah, because he's had great success there. And, you know, kind of like we talked about with Patrick Queen, Bob, is he a Robin and can he be a Batman? You know, like with Queen, can he do that? We didn't know if he could do that. So with Godwin, I mean, if I'm the Ravens, would I love him? Yeah. Can I afford him? No.
Going into that week 7 where he got hurt, his 50 catches were most in the NFL?
Yeah. No, the guy, yeah.
Because Baker was feeding him.
Feeding him, and then you got Evans. Was Evans hurt at that time? But, I mean, when they got both of them, you know, they're pretty damn good because Evans has got, what, how many straight years of over 1,000 yards receiving? It's like 10?
It's 10 years at least because he played in college with Johnny Manziel. Sam Darnold, here's a lightning rod guy.
Yeah, this is an interesting
number one. Six, coming off a career year with Minnesota. Flatline against Detroit in the game for the number one seed, which they got blown out in, and he didn't play well. Then they got blown out by the Rams, which is, by the way, on NFL Network, replaying that wild card debacle if you're a Vikings fan. Didn't play well there. So does a full season, basically, of being superb get flushed based on two games, the two biggest games they played?
Well, I think if you're looking at Sam Darnold, you know, for free agency, you're going to study the hell out of those last two games. And why? You know, because he's holding the ball longer, you know, and he can't, you know, where he likes to hold the ball longer. And if he can't, because those teams pressured him, Detroit blitzed the hell out of him. And then and the Rams brought a lot of pressure. And then, you know, he was just throwing the ball away. He was totally ineffective. So the other thing that I would be concerned about, too, is he's got phenomenal offensive talent. He's got good O-line, good tight ends, good receivers, good run. He had everything good. So can he care for the money that you're probably going to have to pay him? Can he be the guy, or is he just got to be an assist guy? Can he be Baker Mayfield? Because if he could be Baker Mayfield, I'd take him.
Raiders is the best fit, according to Matt Bowen, with Pete Carroll and Chip Kelly the new OC there.
Yeah. I guess it'd be interesting. Well, Pete had him at, did Pete have him at SC? No.
No.
So, yeah, that would be, I guess. I mean, you need a quarterback. And then you got the sixth pick of the draft, too. So do you take a young guy? You know, because everybody like got him taking Shedeur Sanders at six.
So there you go. That's some of Ravens aren't really listed with anyone outside of Ronnie Stanley. I guess that's the whole salary cap thing.
Yeah.
Has hamstrung those guys, at least for now. It's 5880-1057 The Fan. We'll come back, break down the Orioles lineup versus the New York Yankees. Yankees defending American League champions. Can they match them run for run? We'll talk about that. We'll talk more Orioles with Matt Weirich from the Baltimore Sun coming up bottom of the hour. Then a fun house trip. Nolan McGraw. Inside Access takes over too.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season two on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season one and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season two.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Things were struggle city in the second half and culminated, I don't want to remind you, but I am, in the playoff sweep at the hands of the Royals, where the Orioles scored one run. And that was on a solo homer. They had one hit with runners in scoring position, and that didn't even drive in a run. It just advanced the guy from second to third as they went quietly into the rainy Camden Yard evening back in October. But We compare the lineup as it's projected now versus the Yankees. Remember, they were first and second in home runs, Baltimore and New York last year. Third and fourth in runs scored. Unfortunately, Yankees finished 10th with runners in scoring position. The Orioles were 19th, 20th. Go back to 2023 when they won 101 games. Numero uno with runners in scoring position. Last year, not so much. So, start with the Orioles lineup, projected, all subject to change. We're still, what, month and a half away from opening day. Gunnar Henderson, shortstop. Jordan Westberg, third base. Adley Rutschman, great first half, terrible second half, behind the dish. Colton Cowser assumes Santander's role, I guess, at cleanup in right field. I think he might be getting more left field, and then, you know, they'll rotate, I guess. Tyler O'Neill, 31 homers last year for Boston, a couple trips to the IL, batting fifth. Ryan O'Hearn and Mounty will guess flip-flop DH versus first base. Jackson Holliday will be your second baseman. Cedric Mullins batting ninth, center field. Brutal first half, outstanding in the final 2 months of the season. And their only offensive hope in the postseason, as we've talked about. Now, for the Yankees. So the Orioles are minus Santander, 44 bombs, 100 ribbies. Jason Dominguez, left field. Big prospect. All sorts of excitement about him, and rightfully so. Aaron Judge, MVP, we get it. Cody Bellinger, center field. All right, had the great year in Chicago, was brilliant with the, remember early in his career, him and Judge were kind of like on the same trajectory, then they weren't, injuries, whatever, now they're teammates. Giancarlo Stanton, currently not swinging a bat, DH. Jazz Chisholm, second base. Paul Goldschmidt, terrible first half, got better second half at first base. Austin Wells, behind the plate. Anthony Volpe, your shortstop, and the always excitable DJ LeMahieu is at third base. So, Nolan, I'll ask you first, compare the Orioles lineup to the New York lineup. Do the Orioles have anyone that can mash with Aaron Judge? No. But I see a little more balance in the black and orange, and I think they're much better defensively, in the infield in particular, than the Yankees are.
Yeah, I'll take the Orioles lineup top to bottom for sure. And if you want to just go ahead and say that, you know, Gunnar Henderson, the peak of the Orioles, Aaron Judge, the peak of the Yankees, they're a wash. They too, they cancel each other out. There's your superstars. What do you get from there? I look at the rest of this New York lineup on paper. I mean, really only two other guys that would concern me, not just this year, but moving forward, and that's Jazz and Volpe. I mean, Volpe is going to continue to grow and be one of the brighter young stars in the game. Jazz did great things there after getting traded and into the playoffs. But other than that, a lot of question marks for me in the New York lineup. You know, Goldschmidt, they're not injury question marks because he does play, but he's 37. Mm-hmm. When's his steep drop-off going to start to show up? Maybe the start of last year, the first half, was the early warning signs of that. DJ LeMahieu, as consistent as anyone in his prime, he's now on the back half of his career. Injury concerns with him. Dominguez, is he actually going to get a shot to play every day? Is he as advertised with the all the prospect hype? I mean, there's not a lot of sure things there for New York, and they're kind of banking on, in a lot of ways, kind of like the Orioles are with their pitchers, guys to actually stay healthy and improve.
Yeah, I just think there's more balance in Baltimore's lineup, assuming health and the continued trajectory. Adley Rutschman's got too much of a track record of being really good to let 2 months of suckage wash that down the drain. Westberg is going to, he was an all-star last year. Let's not forget his injury. Catastrophic. He missed 2 months of the season with a broken wrist. That was huge for them. What's the ceiling for Moomin? I mean, last time we saw him, he struck out, got his hand broke. He got hit by a pitch on a strikeout. I mean, we know the power's there, but he had his great months, then these prolonged slumps. Hopefully, Cedric Mullins is 6 months of steady production as opposed to, oh my God, why is he even in the lineup? To he's our most reliable guy down the stretch. And you mentioned Gunnar. You know, Jackson Holliday is going to be immensely more productive than he was last year, where he wasn't. And Mountie, if he's healthy, the wall's in, he's got power to all fields. Maybe he gets that mental block that if it's there, we'll talk to Matt Weirich about this in a couple of minutes, that he starts hitting. He could, remember, he could jack to right center field in any stadium. And O'Hearn, another guy that was hot in the first half, got real cold in the second half. So for the Orioles lineup, it was a tale of two halves. Awesome, explosive first half. Second half, everyone's trying to hit seven-run homers, because I think they kind of realized it was a team-wide malaise. And where does Heston Kjerstad fit into this? When are we going to get to see those fair at-bats, Nolan, which you've been pining for?
Yes.
Here so far.
And I think that that is another feather in the Orioles cap, that, you know, they do have a pretty stacked lineup as it is, but in the event that maybe one or two guys get banged up, which is probably going to happen over 162, you're in a position to overcome that, because you have some depth. Now, if it ends up being like last year where guys are dropping left and right, you see firsthand just how quickly it'll spiral on you. So, I mean, at a certain point, the injuries do become too much. We saw that last year, but they're in a position where they can overcome a few. I don't know if I could say the same about the Yanks.
Look, O'Neill was on the IL three times last year for Boston. And he was that guy in St. Louis, too. Still managed to hit 31 homers. So we'll play glass half full that he gets 140 games in, and who knows what the offensive numbers can be. And let's not forget, he's a Gold Glove winner. 5 years in the rearview mirror, but a Gold Glove winner nonetheless. I think the lineups are comparable. I think Baltimore's is deeper. Yankees, I think, have a clear edge in the rotation. We'll talk about the bullpens tomorrow. Real quick, though, how about Toronto's rotation? Nolan McGraw, where we can get into Jose Berríos, Kevin Gausman, Chris Bassett, Scherzer, and Bowden Francis. Could they be sneaky effective this year?
Could be.
For the perennial underachievers, it's
right, but I feel, yeah, exactly. I feel like the last couple of years we've looked at that rotation and said, man, it's a lot there, a lot of talent there. Could be scary. And then get into the season, not so much.
Well, Nolan doesn't think the Orioles are going to win the World Series, but they're not going to finish last either. We'll see what Matt Weirich of the Baltimore Sun thinks when we come back. That it's a funhouse trip with Quick Draw. Inside Access takes over at 2 o'clock. NFL Combine less than 2 weeks. Terps back on the hardwood against USC. You can hear it on the Fan. Maryland number 20 in both polls.
Your sports information station, 105.7 The Fan.
Haiti 105.7 The Fan. Turn it up Tuesday. Crank it up to 12. Pick a song. We'll play it. Song request. Plaza for text line at 410-583. 105.7. Bob Haiti, V. Serrato, Nolan McGraw. You don't have to talk all preseason. Exhibition, spring training, whatever you want to call it, starts Saturday for the Orioles taking on the Pirates. Here to talk about not necessarily that game, well, maybe a little bit, who's going to throw the baseball against Pittsburgh. But the way things are coming together here, full squad workout today. Adley was hitting up bombs. Rubenstein talking about we're not broke, so let's fix it, or whatever it is, from the Baltimore Sun. He's on the Window Nation guest hotline. Let's welcome back to the program, live from, we assume, sunny Florida, Matt Weirich. Matt, what's happening?
Not much. Just letting the sun beat down on me right now. It's feeling good.
Well, you're like Elton John, I guess is what it is. But let's talk about David Rubenstein. Yesterday, I met with the media, said, look, no financial issues here. We're not broke. Paraphrasing, obviously. I mean, if we need to spend, we will. Defers to the GM. I mean, a lot of things to unpack. But as you know, a lot of Oriole fans still, same old Orioles. They're cheap. They don't want to do this, that, and the other thing. Not even a year into the regime, the payroll's up 56% over where it was a year ago at this time. A lot of in-house raises made that part of the reality. But what is there anything that would lead you to believe that if it's time to write a big old fat check, that he's going to be reluctant to do so? Going back to the John Angelos just 2 years ago, enjoy it while it lasts, because we're not going to be able to afford all these guys.
I certainly think that they have the purse if they're willing to dip into it. You know, I think as we've kind of seen, Mike Elias has really taken the lead on the baseball side of the operations, and that includes recommending to Rubenstein just exactly how much they're going to spend and what they're going to allocate that money towards, you know, these long-term contracts or free agent pitchers, things like that. Whether that remains to be seen as to just how interested Elias is in making those kinds of deals is certainly still up in the air. But I think that with the young core that they have right now, they certainly have room, you know, long term with all the moves they made, all only really were for 1 year deals. They have a lot of room right now to spend on these younger guys, which, you know, as history has kind of shown, are probably better ways to spend your money to ensure you're going to get maximum production over the lifetime of those deals. So just how many of these guys are interested in working out extensions, what those price tags look like, that's something that we're going to have to kind of wait and see over time. But certainly I would have to think that that is at the top of the priority list. And Rubenstein said yesterday that he would love to extend some of those guys, have some Brooks Robinsons of the current age.
Now, looking ahead a little bit in the crystal ball, Matt, a lot of players on this year's team are in one-year deals, if not expiring, you know, contracts here. So are they going to be forced, air quotes, to spend just based out of necessity trying to field a team? And I mean, Gunner and Adley aside, I mean, they might need a half a rotation. A lot of the bullpen guys are on one-year deals. We know Basayo could replace Sanchez, et cetera, et cetera. You might need two new first basemen. Is it going to be a spend because we have to scenario a year from now?
Yeah, I mean, certainly we saw it this year. Obviously, they have a higher payroll, you know, up to $161 million by Fangraph's estimations, which is a massive leap over what it was a year ago. But it was a lot lower a year ago because a lot of these players were pre-arbitration eligible or in their first years. So just naturally, a lot of players like Adley Rutschman, Gunnar Henderson, Colton Cowser, Jordan Westberg, as it goes on, those guys are going to start to get raises that are going to be bigger and bigger, and they'll have to field a higher payroll just to be able to fit those guys on the roster. So, you know, they're obviously not guaranteed deals that, you know, will reflect in future projections at the moment. But as you kind of get there, that's going to take a bigger and bigger chunk of these, of their payroll. And certainly it would be, you know, a lot of teams have looked and tried to lock up some of these guys early to try and at least have some cost certainty for those players. So as you mentioned, they might have to fill with some free agents, and just how far they're willing to go to do it might have to expand as the years go on.
Matt Weirich, Baltimore Sun, joining us here, Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Now, Matt, we did the always fun exercise comparing the Orioles to the Yankees, and rotation-wise, we gave the nod to New York, and I don't think there's anything crazy with that one ahead of the Orioles. We gave the Orioles the nod. You can agree or disagree with the lineup, position players, a little more versatility. No Soto, no Santander, so I don't know if it washes, but you get the point. As we look at both teams today, however, in the bullpen, who would you give the nod to right now on February the 18th?
Man, I mean, you look back just 2 years ago when Felix Bautista and Devin Williams were the two best closers in baseball, and injuries have limited both of them over the last year from kind of reaching that status again. But certainly I wouldn't put it past either of them to rebound and get back to that form. So you could be talking about the 1-2 closers in the game once again with them both sharing the AL East. So certainly at the top, both teams have a lot of potential. I think that the Orioles are pretty well equipped to match up well with teams. They have a lot of lefties in their pen, a lot of guys who have back-end experience. I like the move for Andrew Kittredge on the righty that they brought in. I think Keegan Aiken was a very underrated reliever, and Yennier Cano has been pretty steady over the past two seasons. So I think that the Orioles have a really solid group, a group that has a potential for a lot of depth. The Yankees, you know, they're coming in here with, I think, kind of stitching some things together. Obviously, Clay Holmes didn't work out and had to be let go, and now they're kind of going through some changes. So what that bullpen is really going to look like is something that I think is a bit less certain. So I think right now I would give the edge to the Orioles just because we kind of know what group they have, but certainly that's something that's going to be very much worth watching, especially early in the season.
Hey, Matt, we saw pictures of, you know, Holiday looks like he's kind of bulked up a little bit. When you've looked at any of these other guys, anybody else change their body around like that also?
You know, I don't know if anyone has necessarily changed their body like crazy. I mean, Rieke Bradfield looks like he's put on a little bit of weight, certainly. Still looks fast as hell, got to say. But, you know, he's looking like, I don't know if power's already part of his game, but certainly can maybe lift the ball a little bit better. But honestly, I do a double take every time I see him for the first time. But Kobe Mayo is just such a big dude. I saw him standing next to Cedric Mullins, and it was like that iconic Aaron Judge, Jose Altuve photo with the difference between the two guys. And he is such a big guy, and you forget how young he is. Watching him take BP today, he was just crushing homers left and right. That kid, he's a big guy for sure.
Matt Weirich, Baltimore Sun, Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Matt, last thing for you. Also, the Manute Bowl, Muggsy Bogues, one from way back when. 177, one's 5'3". But if there's an opening, wide open position that is going to be seized by someone, where is it? Where, I don't say a glaring weakness for the Orioles, but where's a hole that needs to be filled and will start getting filled over the next 6 weeks here?
Well, you know, this team really doesn't have any major holes that would stand out to me. And I mean, it seems like Heston Kjerstad is going to be getting the inside track to what probably is the last spot on the bench. Jorge Mateo not ready. The bullpen, all eight spots are accounted for, assuming that Albert Suarez is going to be in there. He's being stretched out as a starter right now, but I have to imagine that they're going to be putting him in the bullpen if everybody's healthy. So it might really come down to an injury for a spot to really become open up. But a guy I would watch out for in the bullpen is Brian Baker. He threw a pretty good bullpen live BP session today with touch of 98, and you know he's out of options. So if the Orioles do have an injury in the bullpen, I could see Brian Baker being the guy maybe they turn to first in order to maintain the most roster flexibility. He's obviously somebody who's been in Baltimore a few years now and has had some varying levels of success.
Oh, speaking of first, sorry, I forgot all about this. Who's pitching Saturday for the Orioles? Who's getting the ball? Any announcements imminent here?
We don't know, but Brandon Hyde says he does know and is just not telling us yet. So he is leaving it up to mystery for now.
He's cagey, that Brandon Hyde. He's Matt Weirich, Baltimore Sun. Matt, appreciate the time as always. Enjoy the rest of your Turn It Up Tuesday. We'll talk to you soon.
Will do. Thanks, man.
You got it. It's Matt Weirich, everybody. It's Vinny at 81.057 The Fan. Funhouse, Nolan McGraw. Then Inside Access takes over at 2 o'clock. It's Turn It Up Tuesday. We're rocking. I've only been ice skating once in my life, and that was in Patterson Park when I was 12 with my then girlfriend. Fell on my ass like 5,000 times. I'm like, that's a wrap. I'm good. Went rollerblading a couple of times, and that kind of the same.
It's similar.
Yeah, fell down doing that too, by the way. Nolan, how are you on the old skates there?
Can't do either.
Oh, really?
Can't do. I think I gave both one try as a child. I said, same thing. Now, there's got to be something else I'm destined for in this life than doing this.
Yeah, to be honest with you, I can barely put my left in front of the right just walking places nowadays, and getting on a bike would probably be detrimental to health as well. I'm just trying to make it, man. I saw the ladder in the hallway, and I said, last thing you want to do is walk underneath of it, because right. You don't need any more bad luck. The bad luck would be if I try to climb up it, because that would definitely end in disaster. Nolan, any idea what we got going on Woman Crush Wednesday as we get the people ready for some midweek sports talk?
Lots of surprises, as always, on a Woman Crush Wednesday. Ryan Wilson joins us on Wednesdays. We'll talk to him. We'll continue to get check-ins live from Sarasota. What's going on with the Orioles? Maybe tomorrow, Brandon Hyde would like to share with us who's pitching on Saturday, but something tells me that'll be a Friday announcement.
Well, apparently he already knows. He's just making us all wait. Not that the Pirates are like game planning against it, but either way, it is what it is. And, you know, I haven't even gotten into, you know, no Damon tomorrow, Damon Evans, but Maryland football, let's just say attrition on the coaching staff, kind of a yearly event.
Yeah.
So we can touch on that a little bit tomorrow as well. But enough of us. Inside Access coming up in a matter of minutes. Nolan, let's go to that fun house.
Quick Draws Funhouse. The Rudeness Tuneness Text Reader.
Who's the fastest gun alive?
This side of the Chesapeake.
Sponsored by the Smile Design Center. Changing the way you feel about dentistry one smile at a time. For information or to schedule an appointment for care, visit them today at smiledesigndoctor.com.
I like that quick draw.
105.7 The Fan.
First one on the Orioles spending. Texter says, the Orioles have the money to pay anyone, but I think they face an uphill battle negotiating with their young guys in-house. The agent impact for Gunnar and Holiday, well, we know that was Scott Boras. Meanwhile, Adley Rutschman, his age and position make him a difficult guy to find a comparable contract for. Ultimately, it could be Kowser and Westberg who are the most receptive to sign, but we just don't know.
Yeah, I mean, only Father Time will let that one play out here, but at the very least, he said that he's willing to spend, right. And there's no financial restraints. We'll see if that becomes a reality. When it's time to spend, are they willing to do so? Can't just hope everyone takes hometown discount. Doesn't work that way.
No.
Anymore. Another one, in most cases, quite frankly.
Yeah. This texter here says the starting rotation is the only area where the Yankees are better than the Orioles right now. Even in the bullpen. Sure, their new closer, he's great, but Felix Bautista would negate that. In fact, the O's entire reliever pool seems to be much better and deeper than New York.
Right. Hey, look, the Yankees are really good, and they have a guy in Aaron Judge that can carry the team. And if Dominguez blossoms into a Rookie of the Year candidate, you know, watch out. And as Nolan, as you said, Volpe, I mean, he's known for his glove, but the offensive upside, I think, is it's not gunner level, but I think he'll bring more to the equation. I just think the Orioles are deeper offensively, and bullpen's better, and, you know, organizational depth. I mean, where are the prospects coming from Baltimore now, since most of them are already here? I mean, is Basayo going to be ready in a pinch? We're not going to see him get that May call-up like we've seen in the past. At least we don't think.
This one on the Ravens, texter says, replacing left tackle Ronnie Stanley will be tough, but if they enter next season with just one notable change on their O-line, that would be a huge boost and a huge change from the start of this past season where they had three new starters on week one there on the O-line. A lot of question marks with that at the time. Just hope they add someone of note in free agency. You can't bank entirely on the young guys in-house.
Yeah, well, there'll probably be two changes because left guard will be a change too. Left guard and right tackle will be the two changes. So do they get a veteran guy? I would imagine, because Eric said he expects at least two O-linemen in the draft.
And one last one here from Chris says, I think we have to assume that the Orioles are operating with a huge faith that Grayson Rodriguez is going to take that next step and be the ace, and that Zach Eflin, on top of that, will maintain what he did after he joined the team at the deadline. You can't really quantify the growth of the young core. Just have to assume that with the moves they've made or the moves they haven't made, they feel that everything they need is currently on the roster.
Well, that's the assumption, and David Rubenstein himself said as such, same with Mike Elias. But the Grayson point that the texter made, I can't sit here and circle a win total or an innings mount or how many starts he's going to make because haven't really seen him do it yet. Seen it in bits and pieces. Remember the second half of 2023, he had one of the five lowest earned run averages in baseball. All of baseball. Corbin Burns was part of that. Last year, he's brilliant at times. And then he got hurt. And they could have really used him, I would think, in August and September. Can he hit the post for 6 months? I'm okay with Eplin. What's Morton bringing to the equation? There's the he's durable. He hits the post, but he is 41 years old. When does 41 become 41? And can Sagano get major league hitters out? We'll find out. I don't have a crystal ball, or I'd be trying to win them Powerball numbers, if you know what I mean. That's going to do it for us. Inside Access coming up here in a matter of minutes. We're back tomorrow with Woman Crush Wednesday. For Nolan McGraw, Vinny Serrato, I'm Bob Haney. Stay safe. Stay healthy. We'll talk to you in the morning. For now, class dismissed.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.